Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Somebody by your side. How was the day? Thank God we made it here. Some of us made it here, and some of us are online. So we welcome our online viewers this evening. Thank you for joining us. Praise the Lord. David should have just continued. Where is he? Should have just continued the message, because David preached. You didn't pray, you preached. You just went into my notes and just began to, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is one in the house. Amen. Okay, so we're talking the gifts of the Spirit this evening, and we are on, how do we call it now? We have been talking about the Holy Spirit since the beginning of October. This is November now. Are we in November? So we're in November. Okay. So since October, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit. So essentially, we are on the Holy Spirit series. And we have done one or two things about the Holy Spirit. And in the last two Wednesdays, Pastor Akin took us on the fruit of the Spirit. So today I'm going to start on the gifts of the Spirit. Again, I discovered this today that it is not possible to do everything at once, because there are also nine gifts, just as there are, nine fruits. I didn't say nine fruits. I said nine fruit. Nine expressions of one fruit. Hallelujah. Okay, so before I go into that, you know, as I was just thinking about it, I think there's a need for us to, Why are we doing the Holy Spirit series? Why are we talking about the Holy Spirit? And essentially, it's because as believers, we cannot do without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We cannot do without the Holy Spirit. We need Him. John 14 and verse 26. You know, John 16, Jesus was talking to his disciples about the Spirit. But in John 14, can we do it in the, I'll read this and then you display it in the Amplified. This is NKJV. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." The Amplified, you know, breaks it down and gives us like 6-7 dimensions of what the Spirit does. But let's even stick with the Helper. As believers, without the Helper, you cannot live the Christian, you cannot walk the Christian walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As believers, that Helper, we need that Helper to walk the Christian walk. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit." Can you give me an Amplified? I said to display in Amplified. It says, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper. That's how many. Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. So seven. Yeah, seven, you know, seven dimensions again of what the Spirit will do for us. It says, but the Helper. So as believers, I want us to settle it in our hearts that we cannot do, like some people say, run this race. We're running a race. How many of us remember that song? I am running the race to meet my Redeemer. Heavenly race, heavenly race. Heaven. You don't know the song? Ah, okay, sorry. That's a song. Anyway, so we cannot do this on our own. And that is why when Jesus was going, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send him to you. So as believers, we must understand that without the person of the Holy Spirit, we can't do this. We can't do this. And a lot of times, we seem to forget that and we want to run in our own strength. And then we get into, you know, we get into pit holes, you know, and all of that. Praise the Lord. So please, like I said, it is important that we know every day, you just tell yourself, I can't, you just ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. I can't do this on my own. It's not possible for you to walk this Christian walk by yourself. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the gift of the Spirit. Like I said, David peeped into my notes because it is important again to understand why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 11. Okay, I'm going to read NLT, but then I'm going to go back to NKJV. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us. And Pastor Akin was talking, I think he mentioned it also last week, about the gifts representing the ability of the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that gives the ability. You know, so here he says, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us. I don't want you to misunderstand this. Another version that I just stumbled on says, I don't want you to be misinformed about this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And the reason why he was saying this here was because in that church at that time, the church of Corinth, you know, if you have read your Bible a bit, you would know that the church of Corinth was a problematic church, was a present-day church. You know, sometimes when we read the Bible, we want to think that, no, that thing that happened then is happening now. When they say there's nothing new under the sun, it is so true. There's nothing new under the sun. So that Corinthian church was a present day church, and there were a lot of things happening. So people will come and be speaking, but they were speaking by some other spirits that was not the Spirit of God. So he was saying here, you will know the one that is the Spirit of God, because this one that is the Spirit of God cannot curse Jesus. And the one that is the Spirit of God is the only one that will say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. So it says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. And you know, like I said, first, the Corinthian church was a present-day church. Because right now, you have people who give, who prophesy, who give words, who do all sorts of things in church that are not by the Holy Spirit. But because a lot of us as believers are not grounded in the word, we cannot separate, we cannot decipher which one is of the Holy Spirit and which one is not of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. It says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are nine, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. It says there are different kinds of service. I think NKJV talks here about administration. But we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. It says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So it is not for you. The fruit is for you. The gift is for others. Praise the Lord. The fruit is for us, for you as a person. The gifts are for others. It says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. I think I will switch to NKJV here because that wise advice, you will not understand it. Let me just say, let us read it as. So from verse 8, NKJV. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Praise the Lord. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay? So here, there are nine of them, like I said. And essentially, the nine are categorized into three groups. The nine are categorized into three groups. We have what we call the revelation gifts. And the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. It's not discernment. Discerning. Discernment is something else. Discerning of spirits. Those are the revelation gifts. They are the spiritual gifts that reveal something. That's why they are called revelation. They reveal something. And then we have the power gifts. The power gifts are spiritual gifts that do something. And they are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gift of healings. Those are the power gifts. They do something. They are spiritual gifts that do something. And then, of course, the last group, they are called either the utterance gifts. You could also call them inspirational, or you could call them vocal gifts. And they are spiritual gifts that say something. They say something. And the gifts here are the gifts of prophecy, diverse kind of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. Three categories. Revelation. These gifts reveal something. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And I note I said it is not discernment. It is discerning of spirits. Then you have the power gifts. These ones do something. The gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gift of healings. And then you have the utterance gifts or inspirational gifts. They say something. That's the gift of prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Some essential things that we have to note about these gifts. Number one, let me read that ESV that I said. That verse 1. It says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. It is important that we are not uninformed, because the reason why we don't have them so, you know, like it seems like they are not really present now is because a lot of us are uninformed. We don't really talk about spiritual gifts. Yes, some people have them, but a great many of us do not even understand what we are saying when we are talking about spiritual gifts. So we are uninformed. So because it is what you know that you can take advantage of. Am I right? So what you are not paying attention to is not likely to happen. And that is why it talks about, you know, at the end of that chapter, verse chapter 12, it says, earnestly desire. It says to earnestly desire the best gift. So God wants us to desire the gift, but you cannot desire what you don't know about. So number one, we are not to be ignorant. We are not to be uninformed about these gifts. Hallelujah. We are not to be uninformed. So essentially, after now, I would expect that we will go back on our own and do some more studying about the spiritual gifts. Praise the Lord. Number two, the spiritual gifts will always exalt Jesus. And this we find in verse 3. It says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You know, like I said, there's nothing new now. You see some, I have seen one or two videos. I don't really watch much. But you see some people praying, even now, as we're talking in our nation, I'm not even talking now, although it's all over the world. And they cannot even call the name of Jesus. Have you seen those prophets? They cannot call the name of Jesus. They will just, you know, they will just go around and around and around, and the prayer will just, but you will not hear them calling Jesus. You will not. You will not. So, anybody that is walking with the Spirit of God, those are the ones that can call the name of Jesus. But anyone that, of course, like I said, you hear some prophecies and you're wondering, what are these people, you know, talking about? So, any spiritual gift that is being used should exalt Jesus. They will not attract attention to some man, but rather to Christ. So when you have that spiritual gift and it is drawing attention to a man, you heard Papa prophesy? It will always draw attention to Christ. Once it is drawing attention to a man, you need to take a second look at it. Hallelujah. Number three, the believer does not own and operate the gifts whenever he wants. You know, like that says, Papa prophesy. No, you cannot say Papa prophesy. If the Holy Spirit wants, he reveals to you. If he doesn't want, he doesn't reveal to you. You can't arrest him. It is not at the will of any believer to put it on and put it off, turn it on and turn it off. No, it is not. So they are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifested through individual believers as the Spirit of God wills. And you know, it is not automatic that once you as a prophet, so to say, we're not talking about that here today, but even as a prophet, it is not that it is automatic. It is not turned on and turned off. No. As the Spirit of God wills. Praise the Lord. Number 4 point, the gifts are for the benefit of the church. They are for the benefit of others. They are for the benefit of the local assembly. They are for the benefit of the local assembly. So that is why Paul was saying that when we come together, somebody has a hymn, somebody has a psalm, another person has a word. They are for the benefit of the local assembly. Number 5, all these gifts except 2 were in operation in the Old Testament. Can somebody tell me what the two gifts that was not in operation in the Old Testament were? Ah. Fantastic. And why is that so? Yes, I heard her tongues. And why is that so? Why do you think that was? Because the Holy Spirit was not, yes, yes. So all of the other gifts, seven of them, were also in operation in the Old Testament. It is only tongues and diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation that were not operative in the Old Testament. Number six, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural. They are not natural. So essentially, that means that if you are not a believer, you are not walking in that. You cannot walk in that in the gifts if you are not a believer, because they are not natural. Yes, there is natural knowledge. Yes, there are familiar spirits, because really, familiar spirits, you see those people that read palms and all of those things, but they are not in the order of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lastly, all of the gifts of the Spirit operate by ordinary faith on the part of the believer. And what do I mean? So when you see people who come up and give word of knowledge, okay, let me give you an example. I remember hearing the story about W.F. Kumuyi, that the very first time he had miracles at a, what he just used to do before was to just have crusade, preach, and all of that. That the very first time there were, you know, like serious miracles crusade. He said he was praying. He was praying, and his eyes were closed. And he began to see different things happening, you know, like legs healed and all of that. But that he was, first of all, afraid that, what is this? You know, he was cautious. He didn't want to say, if I say it now, it doesn't happen. What, you know? But when he consistently kept seeing, you know, like legs dangling, you know, different things, he just opened his mouth and said one. And after he said one, he just began. And then noise just began to evaporate through this. So it takes faith, because he could have kept quiet. He could have kept quiet, say, I have never seen this one before. What is this one? What is happening here? Am I sure of what I'm hearing? Am I sure of what I'm seeing? So it takes faith, ordinary faith. First step, ordinary faith on the part of the believer. The believer must be willing to step out in faith for these things to, for the gifts to be on display or to come through our vessels, as it were. Praise the Lord. So when you see somebody who is so versed in word of knowledge, the person started from somewhere, and it is based on the premise of ordinary faith. Because if you hear something, you can hear something in your heart, in your spirit, and you're saying, should I say this? Should I not say this? But the more you say it, the more sharpened your senses are. You know, the more you yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the sharper your senses are. Praise the Lord. So those are the seven things we must note about the gift of the Spirit. So let's start wherever we stop this evening. We'll continue next week. And some people say that the gifts are arranged in the order of importance. So, you know, we start from the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, you know, discerning of spirits, that they are arranged in order of importance. So what is word of wisdom? What is word of wisdom? It is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God. A supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God. A supernatural. So when somebody is telling you about, we'll see examples in the scripture. We're going to look at examples in the scripture. Talking about a supernatural, something that you know that, of course, it's, okay, let me say this. The word of wisdom always speaks of the future. It always speaks of the future. While the word of knowledge talks about the past or the present. So that is the major difference between the two of them. That's the major difference. So when you hear people, you know, like, they call it foretelling. Foretelling. Foretelling that you are saying something that is just, is going to happen in future, is not happening presently. So that is called foretelling. And the word of knowledge is called forthtelling. Forth, because it has already happened, or it is happening. And you are just saying it. Okay? So the word of wisdom talks about the future. A revelation by the Spirit of God concerning God's divine purpose and plan. And then the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Not, how many people have heard word of K? And then there's word from K. What is word from K? Word from K is that. Why are you people looking at me as if a word, okay. Word of knowledge is word of K. Word from knowledge is word from K. The difference is that word from K is not by the Holy Spirit. Word from K is that I have gone to do my research. I have collected some vital information. And then I come, I present it as word of K. Meanwhile, it is just word from K. Thank you. And there is a lot of word from K going on. Word from K going on. And you know, you are just, when that prophet tells you everything, you're afraid. You don't know that it is word of K. They have already done random sampling before they enter the service. Hallelujah. God will deliver us. So the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning certain facts in the mind of God. Facts about people, places, or things in the past or present. Word of K, like I said, talks about past or present. And make no mistakes, familiar spirits can also do this. So you have to be careful when you are looking for prophets to speak to you or to tell you which way to go. Thank you. The word of knowledge always speaks of the past or the present. Past or present. Very often, spiritual gifts operate together. And we will see examples in scriptures where they are operating together. Let's look at Acts 9. Acts 9. And this is the story of Ananias and Paul. Acts 9 from verse 10. Here we have the two, you know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. But initially, word of knowledge and then word of wisdom. It says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Which version am I reading? Okay, let me go back to NKJV. Okay. It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Streets. And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. There was no way, this is word of knowledge. There was no way Ananias could have known that Saul was in a street called Straight. And that on that street, he was in the house of one Judas. Hallelujah. And there was no way he would have known that Paul was already praying and that he had seen him, Ananias, coming to put his hand on him. So you have word of knowledge there, because these are things that have happened. Facts about places, about people. Praise the Lord. So Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. This is word of wisdom. Because here, God was telling Ananias what was going to happen to Paul in future. Even Paul himself by now did not know this. But God had told Ananias, and it was a way of convincing Ananias, I have plans for him. You just go and do what I said you should do. Praise the Lord. So here you have the two at work. There's word of knowledge, facts about places, people, and then there's word of wisdom talking about God's plan, you know, for Paul later on in future. Okay, let's look at word of wisdom in the Old Testament. Can somebody give me, at least I have given you some, can somebody just give me one word of wisdom in the Old? We all agree that it it worked in the Old Testament. So can somebody give me word of wisdom in the Old Testament? Eh? Abraham. Yes, sir. Okay. And anoint David. Is that word of wisdom? That's more like knowledge. Yes, sir. Delanke. Born at the time they were. Okay. You have to give me that. I understand what you're saying, but I have to give me that scripture. But let's look at something. Let's look at Noah. How many of us think that Noah had a word of wisdom? Genesis 6. Did Noah have a word of wisdom? Genesis 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. It now says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. I think history says that it took, how long did it take Noah to build this ark? 120 years. So imagine God had told Noah 120 years before he destroyed the earth with water. So Noah, God was speaking to Noah with word of wisdom because he was telling Noah of his plans for. Remember Abraham? God told Abraham that his descendants were going to go to Egypt and they were going to be slaves for 400 years. And by this time, Abraham had not even given birth to Isaac. So that is a word of telling, when God is telling you about something that is going to happen in the future. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at word of wisdom in the New Testament. Because we are of the new. Abi? We are of the new. Are you of the new? You are not sure? You are not answering me now. I am of the new. So let's look at the New Testament. Acts 11. Let's look at what, and this one was Agabus. Agabus. The prophet. It says, 11:27. It says, and in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. That there was going to be a great famine. So they began to prepare for famine. I wish that somebody had told us too that there was going to be a... Hallelujah. So, Agabus told them of the impending famine. And then the disciples sent relief, you know, to the brethren in Judea, because Agabus had said something about the, what's it called, that was going to happen. This same Agabus, let's look at Acts 21. When Paul was going to Jerusalem. Verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus, the same Agabus, came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." But Paul insisted still. In fact, they were begging him not to go. They were begging him not to go, but he insisted on going because he said that it was the will of God. But I don't know whether God was making a way of escape for him. I'm not sure. I really don't know. At least somebody saw it and he was warned. He was forewarned, but he still went ahead because he believed that it was the will of God. So those are examples of word of wisdom, because they talked about things that were going to happen in the future. Let's look at word of knowledge. And that word of knowledge, I like this one. 2 Kings 6. And sometimes, I know that in time past, I have prayed that kind of prayer. 2 Kings 6. Verse 8. And this was the king of Syria and Elisha. The king of Syria and Elisha. It says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him." He wasn't sure. "Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice." He says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which one of us is a snitch? Who is the one talking to the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king.' But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." The words that you speak in your bedroom. Word of knowledge. So as he's saying it, the Holy Spirit is whispering it into Elisha's ears. Elisha is telling the king. And that's where, you know, they kept foiling coups and wars and all of that. And the man of, and the king of Syria was very, was very angry. Hallelujah. So that's word of knowledge. And let me say something here. Yes, it is word of knowledge. But do you know that your inward weakness can actually also tell you these things? We're going to go into that. The inward weakness can actually tell you. Sometimes it's like somebody is just whispering to your ears. You know, like somebody is just whispering to your ears. So the inward witness can also, when you have learned to, you know, walk with the Holy Spirit and you have trained your spirit, the inward witness also can tell you some of these things. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's look at the New Testament for word of knowledge. Jesus and the woman at the well of Samaria. Jesus and the woman, you know, when they were talking, and Jesus said, "Go and call your husband." Says, "I don't have husband." Jesus said, "Yeah, you said it. You said right. You are very correct. You have married how many husbands?
And the one you are living with, self, is not your husband. So it was a word of knowledge. You know, like, and I'm sounding this note of warning, because do not go and develop itchy ears. Be looking for people who will tell you. That's where we fall into error. Be looking for people who will tell you your grandmother was this, your grandfather was this, and this and this and this, and tell you everything. Please don't develop itchy ears. Hallelujah. John 4. Let's look at it. I think it's verse 7. Let's go to verse 16. It says, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Because, it is not normal that you just tell me, read out my CV, so to say, for me, without having known me. You just met me. How come you know so much about me? So that is word of knowledge. Praise the Lord. Lastly, word of knowledge in the New Testament. At least you know, understand what word of knowledge is by now. Yeah? Acts 9. This is the story of Peter and Cornelius. Acts 10. Okay, from verse 9. It says, "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, what had happened before was that Cornelius was praying, and an angel had told him to send for someone called Peter, and also told a word of knowledge working here. Had told Cornelius where Peter was located, where they could get Peter. So they went to get Peter. And while Peter was praying, he was hungry, and he was praying while food was being prepared. I just want to skip. God showed him a vision. And in verse 19, it says, "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" So he was like, you were in your room upstairs. It's not as if anybody has come to call you. And then the Spirit tells you, 3 people are waiting for you downstairs. Just go and go with them. Don't ask questions. Just follow, and go with them. And so that is word of knowledge. How many of us think we need more of that? We need more. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. We need it to be more operative in our midst. Praise the Lord. Number 3, discerning of spirits. The third of the revelation gifts. Discerning of spirits. And this is spiritual, supernatural insight into the spirit world. God shows you, opens your eyes to see the spirit world. To discern means to perceive by seeing or hearing. So that means that you are either seeing or hearing in the realm of spirit. So this has a limited range of operation, because it is only in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. It is limited to a single class of objects, only spirits. It's only spirit you can see when you have discerning of spirit. It's only spirit you can see. What normally happens is that it will reveal to you the kind of spirit that is in operation behind a supernatural manifestation. Like I said, it's not discernment. Discernment is natural. This is supernatural. It's discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. You know, there has been there's a scripture in Exodus when God was talking to Moses, And he was telling Moses that I will show you myself. Exodus 33. And I had been thinking to myself, is it that? And I had heard somebody say, Moses saw God. Moses saw God. Ha. Saw God face to face and he didn't die. You know, God said, if you see anybody, any human that sees me face to face will die. And this person was saying, Moses saw God and he didn't die. You know? But I have now realized that it is discerning of spirits. Because you can discern the similitude of God. And that is what Moses saw. Yes, it says you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. But then it says that God said, I will put you behind this and I will pass by. So Moses saw the similitude of God. He didn't see God. Because God had said, no man shall see me and live. No man shall see me and live. So God passed by. And Moses saw God. And you wonder when Paul was saying, you know, Paul was not a believer when Jesus was around. And Paul kept talking about how everything that he knows, it was revealed to him by Christ. What he saw was a similitude of Christ, because he did not see Christ. Nobody has seen Christ since he went up, since he left here and has gone up. Yes, a lot of people say they see Jesus. Yes, but what they see is the similitude of Jesus. It's not that they saw the Jesus as he seated at the right hand of God. No. They didn't see the Jesus as he seated at the right hand of God. They see the similitude of him. So that is discerning of spirits. That is discerning of spirits. And sometimes, and that is what even happened in Revelation when John was on the island of Patmos. And, you know, they were revealing stuff to him. He didn't see Jesus is seated there. When he was going, he said he will come back. He will only come back. He's coming back only once. And that coming back is not yet. So what we see is the similitude of, you know, the discerning the risen Christ. Hallelujah. So discerning deals of spirits deals with three kinds of spirits or three classes of spirits. You can have the divine spirits, of course. You can have satanic spirits, of course, that talks about devil, demons, and all of that. And you can also have discerning of human spirits, good or evil tendencies of the human spirit. Hallelujah. So you can discern. And a lot of these things, like we said, the gifts work together. Particularly, maybe later on, when we're talking of gifts of healing, some sicknesses are actually caused by demons, by demon spirits. So you see that somebody is ill and it is a demon spirit. Yes, all sicknesses come from the devil. No doubt about that. But some are actually caused by demon spirits, as in demons attach themselves to humans. And such, in fact, you find that so common in mental cases. When people lose their minds. When people lose their minds and they just go, you know, ballistic. So you can discern that. And if you have that gift, you can now tell whether this is, because some healing, you will just pray and it is gone. And some people, you pray and it's still, you know, it's still there and all of that. So sometimes sicknesses are caused by demon spirits. So if you have the discerning of spirits, God will just allow you to see what exactly is the cause or what spirit is operating in a particular situation or case. Praise the Lord. I think we should stop here for today. I want us to pray.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,